Well, Chase, welcome back to the Edge, man. It's been we had you on a while ago, and I said I wanted to have you back just before Branson. Branson is coming up soon, and man, there is UFO stuff coming out of the yin yang out there. What's going on?
There is so much going on in the UFO field, and it's just a momentum going forward. And for the first time in 50 years, we have confirmation from the Department of Defense, Department of the Navy, you know, CIA, FBI. It's just rolling. It's just rolling out to the public at this time. Branson could not happen at a more precise time. And I really can't believe that's coincidence.
Well, I'll tell you what, there is a search for answers out there because, you know, people were expecting some major event, but it's practically coming out by itself, and I think people are actually maybe behind the curve because I don't think a lot of people expected the event, the UFO events, to be happening at this quick of a pace.
Correct. And I still believe, you know, that there will be some sort of event, obviously, but yes, this is just rolling out, and of course, there's every conspiracy theory under the sun as to why, but I just know as a lobbyist, I'm riding this wave right in D.C. It's so wonderful. Mm-hmm.
And you are a lobbyist. And, you know, there's a recent video even of Trump talking about it. And I think what he said was that, well, he said he didn't necessarily believe in it, but he said he'd trust his pilots. And those pilots are the ones that are saying there's stuff out there.
Correct. These aren't UFO people. These are our professionals that we spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to train them. We give them million-dollar pieces of technology that is so high-tech. And then they come back and tell us these things. And this equipment is catching the evidence. Mm-hmm. And then they're not allowed to say anything. We really have to credit to the STARS Academy and Lou Elizondo for coming out.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, there's that going on. I'll tell you what, I think I have a clip here. Let me see if you can see this. I'm going to play this. It's a little bit dated, but it's still to the point here. Let me see if I can get this going here. Here we go. Right here.
An attorney named Peter Gersten has filed suit in Arizona alleging that there's a cover-up regarding UFOs, and there has been for dozens of years. Millions of people have seen these objects in the sky, and the military continues to deny that anything's going on. Is that an area that's of interest to you at all?
It's always of great interest to me. I think it's of great interest. I would point out to you that there was a case a couple of years ago in Arizona of some lights that were seen over Arizona.
And, of course, the lights that he's talking about is the Phoenix lights. So that was one of the major events. To me, that was sort of a milestone because thousands of people saw a huge craft. Some suggested it was a mile long. Shortly after that, Chase, then we had the Stevensville event. That craft was purported to be a mile long, and those people were ranchers and preachers and various people. So a lot of people that have no interest even being coming out public. But the question has to be answered, and you know, I guess one of the first questions we have: are these benevolent?
We don't know. What we do have now is confirmation that this is real. There are crafts. There is something in our skies that we have no knowledge of at all. We know nothing about them, allegedly. Mm-hmm. And it's really our take as we go forward. We're not even talking aliens yet. We're really focused on what are these unknown threats in our skies. And I use the word threat as the military does. I'm not claiming they're hostile. It's a threat because we don't know what they are, and they're engaging our military, and they're in our borders of the United States. So once they entered, you know, our territory, it became a threat.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is it. I know there's sort of a transition to that airborne threat, so to speak, rather than say an unknown flying object. They're getting away from the objects, but
right.
To consider them a threat indicates that there may be a nefarious reason, or they're suspecting that, and I'm wondering if our defense systems have picked up chatter from them. Now, I know in the movie The Contact, the chatter that was picked up was on a baby monitor, and it was like that, you know. But maybe they're saying, all right, first we bomb, you know, D.C., then we, you know, we take out the European continent, then we start bringing the mothership. Who knows what they've detected?
And this is something that I have a think tank. There are people that have been in this field for decades, and all sorts of different backgrounds that we have in this think tank group in D.C. And what we do is we're focused on the UFO question as a counterintelligence operation. In other words, just like any like a terrorist group or even a local police department, a new gang they find in town, the first thing they're going to want to do is, what are they doing? What are they involved in? Who are the contacts? How are they communicating? This is exactly how we're going forward. I believe that, you know, some of the tactics we've used over the last 50 years have given us what? Nothing mm-hmm. really. But in a year and a half, everything has changed. And we need the government involved. We need scientists involved. We need the industry and our institutions that have the high tech available to them to help us and to get this information out there. I don't believe that there's anything going on right now more important than this. And if you allow me one more minute on ranting almost or this role, when President Trump first said, you know, he's not sure he believes in it, I get that. Can you imagine the President of the United States in the Oval Office that has the most some of the world's biggest issues on his desk consistently, and all of a sudden he's told, Mr. President, we really do have things in our sky. We don't know what they are. He must have been blown away. He must have been gobsmacked. And for his reaction to say, I'm not sure I believe in this, is absolutely what I would expect from somebody just hearing about this for the first time. And as an investigator for over 20 years, I often hear this from our witnesses. Well, I'm not crazy. I promise you I'm not crazy. And I'm not even sure I believe this. Well, let me tell you what happened. That's how it works.
All right. I think I might have, let's see if I have another video here. I'm not sure where I put it. I know where I put it. Here, right here. All right. So here, this, can you see this?
Yes.
This is like one of the latest videos out there. This is from, I think, from Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And a guy's camera, I guess it was a rancher, took this picture. Clear as day, there is an object flying over there. That's not a helicopter or any other thing. And so now they're struggling to determine what this is. What do you think that is?
You know, this is the first time I'm seeing this. My first guess would be drones. My second guess would be 20 other things. So as an investigator, I don't have the luxury to put out proclamations or guesses. You know, everything I do has to be fact-based and evidence-oriented, which is why, to be honest with you, Daniel, I don't do lights in the sky. There will always be just lights in the sky. You will never be able to prove it's a UFO, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just a waste of time. I'm focused on evidence cases such as what you're about to show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're playing some of the clips from the fighter pilots there, and I think they are actually taken by surprise. I'm wondering though, have they always seen these things, or are they just now being released to say you can keep your job and tell the folks about it?
They have seen these more than the occasion of these videos that are out there, and the videos are also much longer. You can imagine that. You know, having something like that, and our fighter pilots are actively engaged with this object, or hundreds of them, as they've been described as swarms. Mm-hmm.
In fact,
they didn't just take a few seconds of something. This is an ongoing issue, and the pilots are coming out. I'm talking to them almost daily. Mm-hmm. Seriously, now that the Navy has put out, Department of the Navy has put out that they're going to take these seriously and has changed how they're reported. It's mandatory Okay. We need to know what these unknown objects are.
I think the upcoming clip is Trump. Let's see if it's audio.
They do say, I mean, I've seen and I've read and I've heard, and I did have one very brief meeting on it, but people are saying they're seeing UFOs. Do I believe it? Not particularly.
Do you think you'd know if there were evidence of extraterrestrials?
Well, I think our great pilots would know. And some of them really see things that are a little bit different than in the past. So we're going to see.
Well, I'll tell you what, Chase, it seems to me that he said I had one little meeting on it. I don't think so. I'm thinking he's had a number of meetings. What do you think?
I think that briefing the president would be something that we have to start following how D.C. works. So what I would imagine and how I'm working at is I'm dealing with intelligence agencies. I'm dealing with the need to know threat assessment committees and groups that this is where we need to be talking, because now they take it up the chain. D.C. is truly a swamp, and trying to get through, you know, who do you talk to, who do you engage? You know, you don't engage Schiff, who's in charge of the intelligence community. You know, Trump would never let him in the Oval Office. I'm wasting my time with this guy. But his subcommittee of threat assessment, or a military operation such as DITRA, this is where I'm focused in on.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so, you know, I mean, we've got to have answers, and I think we need them sooner than later, because I think we have near collisions going on up there. Who knows if they're going to hit a commercial airliner? And I can tell you for a fact, this is the craziest thing. I was looking up at the sky one night, and I saw airlines from the Indianapolis International have a specific route. And I saw lights shadowing some of the planes, and I thought, "Oh, that's crazy stuff." I am not seeing that. I said to myself, but I did see
right,
that.
Right.
So, you know, maybe what if their gear breaks down and they smack right into a commercial jet?
I've often talked with people, and the public will come up and they'll ask me questions such as, you know, why is the government keeping this a secret? And over the past few years, we have also started the question, well, they can show themselves at any time as well, and everything they're doing is behind the curtain. It's in the darkness. Why? What is going on? In December 2017, UFOs are real. It was declared. The proof is out there. No one's questioning this anymore. No one in Congress, no one in the Senate, intelligence community and apparatus, no one's debating this anymore. Mm-hmm. They want to know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Who are they and what do they want? And this is where it gets dicey, because if it was just non-human intelligent beings coming from another planet, yes, we could handle that. Absolutely, we could handle it. But what if it's not? What if it's more complicated? What if it's more sinister? What if it's not what we really think it is, or it's only that? Mm-hmm. This is where maybe the public really wouldn't understand and not ready at this moment. We don't know. Mm-hmm. So these are the questions that we're discussing as these groups, and we're really working this problem as counterintelligence.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about, right out of the blue, I'm watching a Trump rally, and all of a sudden he says, and we're going to create a space force. Whoa!
Right?
What's that got to do? Wait a minute. We're talking economy. We're talking illegal immigration. Now we're creating a space force. That didn't even seem like it even fit. Are you sure he only had one little bitty meeting?
I think sometimes this is coincidence, because what he wanted in a space force was, if humans are going to survive, we have to be interplanetary. If this is biblical, we have to be prepared to fight. So these are some of the things going on there, but to have a space force, I think it's more with just the threats to our satellites. That's really one of our weakest or, you know, most valuable asset right now, that really would be devastating. Mm-hmm. So I think it's more about that, but it quickly turns into having people prepared on space type activities and things that are going on.
Well, you know, even the government issues out suggestions that people need to have 3 days supplies for a national emergency event, usually typically a weather event. But I'm just wondering, what would be the emergency provisions one would have when they say our satellite just picked up a huge armada heading this way? Chase, have you ever been asked that question? What would be the provisions that you suggest?
Yeah, I've been asked a lot about what we would do in a situation like that. And honestly, if this is going to be a world catastrophe or something that impacts most of humanity, I think there are worse things than not surviving an apocalyptic collision. I think of my worry and my broken heart and just devastation, worried about my little grandkids and, you know, did their mom survive? Are they being taken care of, you know, in California? Mm-hmm. So I think in preparation of this, everybody should have food stored. Everybody should have ammo. Everybody should have provisions that are tradable. I'm not really saving money. I don't believe money's going to be important. I'm going to be trading cigarettes and alcohol. You know, those little bottles or whatever, it's, you know, that's the stuff that people are going to want. They're going to want shampoo, they, you know, things like this. So I think you have to be prepared a little bit, but truthfully, be with your loved ones. Mm-hmm. You know, if I had a warning that something was coming like this, I just want to sit with my husband and my family and see what happens together.
Well, you know, it's going to be the Californians that are like in the movie Independence Day. They're going to be going up to the high building and scream, take us, take us, you know. I mean, hey, and I'm all for it. And take them, you know what I'm saying? You know, hey, I think they're going to appear.
Yeah.
In fact, I think they're going to be in a book, because the aliens wrote a book to serve man. I think I wouldn't mind if they were in that book. You know where I'm going with that?
Well, and honestly, you know, we do have a large portion of the UFO community that will go out in the desert and conjure them. They will meditate and pray and for the UFOs to appear. I'm not going to be around that. I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. I don't trust it, because I don't believe one second that they know exactly who they're conjuring.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to questions are piling in here. Let's get to a few of them here real quick. Chase says, how many UFOs have you seen?
I've seen a few. I've had a couple really terrific, I say terrific as in huge, experiences while I was investigating. That's really where I see the most. You can't put boots on the ground as often as I do and not run into it head on a few times.
Okay. Who do you think is piloting the UFOs? Are they different species of aliens or the same species?
It's interesting. Definitely different. I believe that there's, if we believe the witnesses and all the data that we have collected over 50 years, there are different species. But there's also other things going on. So is this supernatural, cosmic? Is this dimensional? This is really where we are now. So it could be just not species of non-human intelligence. There could be other things. And we believe there are other things.
Mm-hmm. All right. Do you want to fly the unfriendly skies on board a UFO? Or would you want to fly the unfriendly skies if the UFOs offered you a flight?
That is very interesting. If they were still secret, I would not get on that UFO. I don't trust what's behind it because I don't have that intel. So I wouldn't trust them to be exactly who they say they are, because there's that, always that thing in the back of my mind, they're the deceiver. They're mm-hmm. they're lying. This is mm-hmm. what they do, and they're really, really good at it. They've had an mm-hmm. eternity to practice.
Yeah, and I mean, Trump could build that space force, but geez, man, are we talking missiles to photon torpedoes, man? I don't know. But these dudes are cloak masters. They can make a Mach 5 right-hand angled turn, okay, and survive without their alien guts being splattered all over the control panel. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how they do that. I bet Tesla knew, though. All right, Space Gal asks this question. Chase, would you work with someone that sees, records, and photographs all types of craft daily?
Oh, absolutely. We would love to hear. I would love to hear from people, especially with evidence as he or she suggested. That's what we're doing now. And I don't want to be rude and say that lights in the sky don't matter. Of course they matter. That data is very important, but I don't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm completely focused on physical evidence. I'm a forensic specialist, and that's what I do. But Yes, I would love to talk to someone like that.
All right. We have this question. Why do you... This is from our guest question on our website. Why do UFOs have a... why do UFOs not have a sonic boom while traveling?
That is one of the questions. And truthfully, and I think I said this on your show last time, I don't believe they're all coming in, you know, on a full tank of gas and a Red Bull. I believe this, really, I believe some of this is time-folding technology. It's they could even be future and if things coming back and forth. And this is where our scientific community is completely involved. We know that CERN's busy on it. Even the Vatican is studying this. They're watching Mount Graham. So with their telescope, you know, Project Lucifer, I can't make this stuff up, Google it. Project Lucifer with the Vatican telescope is waiting and they're watching. So there's a lot going on, and I think we have to expect all of it, but I don't believe it's just them coming in. Every amateur astronomer could watch them coming in. So they're either cloaking, invisible, or they pop in and out where they want, which is what the evidence is suggesting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if they're light years away, even traveling at the speed of light, that's years away. So if they were given command orders from Alpha Centauri, by the time they get to Earth, those orders could have changed. And they might be saying, pull back, and they never got the message, man, and then destroy us all. You know what I'm saying? So I'm thinking, I'm with the folding of the space. I don't think they're traveling light years, even at light speed.
Correct. I believe that's true as well. There's also the suggestion and evidence coming forward that maybe they didn't even leave. Maybe they're still here. We have a very famous interview with 60 Minutes of Robert Bigelow, who runs an aerospace company, very, very interested. He's put more money into the study and scientific adventures into UFOs than anyone else in America. He said that they're right under our noses. We don't have to go anywhere. They're right here under our noses. Mm-hmm. Comments like that from people of his caliber are extremely important. And then we have other incidents of people saying, you know, right out there, which there's a recent interview with Bob Lazar, Jeremy Corbell, and Joe Rogan. And Joe is interviewing the guys, and they're talking about the craft that Lazar saw at S4 at Area 51 when he worked there. And what he said was, well, where did they come from? And Bob Lazar said something I've never heard until just a few months ago. And he said, well, I remember somehow hearing that a couple of them were archaeological digs. Wait, what did he just say? I'm like, whoa, wait. And Joe jumped on it. He goes, what do you mean? And he said, they're ancient. I almost fell off my chair. I'm like, oh my gosh. And hearing all these people that have been doing this and these very professional people with a scientific access saying things like this, I'm on it. I'm all over that right now. Wow. And it's, whew.
Man. All right. A question from Scott Richardson. Says, Chase, Wernher von Braun, ex-Nazi scientist brought over after World War II via Operation Paperclip and founded NASA, claimed the next big New World Order takeover would be a fake alien invasion. What do you think about that?
Yeah, and that's something. He made several predictions on, you know, how this, the things that were really going to affect world law, world war, and also world policy. And I don't know what to think of that. It's, is it going to be a false flag? And I often wondered if this is something that was easy. If we were going to have a biblical apocalypse, and we have this little side of the bad guys using the UFO agenda to come in, how are you going to fool the elite? You're going to fool the elite and the most educated by coming in with more technology, a higher intelligence, and being really good to us. Give us the cure to cancer, maybe some free energy, and then after a while, all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
So,
you know, that reminds me, and I don't know if I mentioned, I told you this story in the last time you was on, but the classic Twilight Zone episode where aliens land at the top of a hill, and all they do is turn the lights off in this little town and start a car a couple times, and the people go berserk, and then they start accusing each other of harboring aliens or even being an alien, and then they fight each other, and then the camera pans back to the aliens talking about it, says, all you gotta do is cut their power, and they kill themselves. We won't have to do a thing. But that is every inner city in America, every central population center in America is exactly like that. If there's a blackout, you better run for it, man, because it's pure hell anarchy. People aren't going to come together and say, let's solve this thing. They're going to destroy each other. That kind of chaos, seems to me, some people, maybe not aliens even want that. Maybe other people want that as well.
Right. It's right in the air. But the good news is that there's, now we have the people involved that we need to talk to, and this is purely the people responsible is a friggin' rock star, you know, who catapulted this this whole agenda with the proper tone straight up to the President of the United States. So, you know, To the Stars Academy has really catapulted. There's a few of us. I became a lobbyist a couple years before there was even To the Stars Academy. I saw this coming. We have to get these people involved because they have the know-how of mm-hmm. some of this technology works, and we have to get them to answer some of these questions mm-hmm. because I do believe this is something we just need to solve this equation. Nobody cares what I think. Science mm-hmm. doesn't care what I think. And so I want to stay on that, but we've got to solve this question.
Well, I'm still a little bit pissed off after 30 years of being called a conspiracy theorist. Running through the forest with aluminum foil hats, which was the government psyops on population, anybody that told the truth. And now all of a sudden, oh, you guys might have known something, or you guys are probably okay. Well, thanks. I don't need them to say we weren't crazy, okay? I need them not to be in charge, because these deniers and blacklisters that they are needs to get the hell out of here. We'll get some real people in there that want to solve this issue.
I love it, because a couple years ago, I was a crazy lady down the road that, you know, did UFOs, and now I'm like the hottest chick on the block. Everyone wants to tell me their stories. Everybody wants to talk to anybody with knowledge on UFOs right now. So it was a vindication in a lot of ways when they came out December 2017, and the momentum is only gaining speed and rising, mm-hmm. Which is so good. This is such a great time to be a ufologist, especially with 2 decades of experience behind what I know.
Mm-hmm. All right. Opted out says, Chase, are the spaceships from North Korea? I heard their beloved leader designed and built them for himself. Now, to spin off of that, what about terrestrial ships that the humans are building, maybe from reversed technology or downed craft?
Correct. And there's a lot of people that believe we have a secret space program and that it's already in play. And going back to even the question before this with Vernon von Braun, they came with Project Paperclip with a tremendous amount of exoteric, projects. I do believe in many, many ways that we have a lot of things that we have now that we didn't have before. When we talk about bending light, that's fiber optics. All of a sudden, we have this great new thing called fiber optics. Mm-hmm. Do I believe that some of this went into private industry? Of course. The military didn't get it. They are they're under supervision. FOIAs, there's all sorts of reasons you wouldn't give it to the military. But you put it in private industry, and you give it to your best engineers, oh my gosh, now you have a Skunk Works. Now you have S&P in Honeywell and all the agencies. It's just remarkable.
Mm-hmm. You know, I love this one scene of this jet aircraft tracking this. As you can see the software, see it, and zoom right into it, man. I love that. That is so cool. So I'm glad to see that. But, again, I'm not really appreciating being called a kook for all this time. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of everybody in America is also a kook concerning that Jeffrey Epstein wasn't murdered. Anybody thinks, everybody's a kook in conspiracy theory. So I don't want to hear it from the elite okay, the professional class, who is and who is not a conspiracy theorist. In fact, they're trying to, YouTube is trying to ban what they determine is conspiracy theories. But we're saying, hey, here's a conspiracy theory. You guys are trying to ban us. So that makes them conspiracy nuts by saying that there is a conspiracy. So, you know, but it's just a way to control what's going on. Let's get to another question. Put Yahweh First says, do we have technology like Stargate SG-1?
I don't know that answer. I wish I did. I'd be all over that. if I had a chance to even see something, let alone do something like that, I would do something like that. But I don't have knowledge of that at all. I would suspect that even watching what I've done as an investigator and why I turned away from Lights in the Sky is because everyone else that has been in it with the best of the best. In other words, Bigelow had NIDS, which are the top engineers, scientists, you know, just this group of people that were just immaculately brilliant. They weren't doing that. They were at Skinwalker Ranch looking at portals and things that are coming through and just popping in through these dimensions. So I do believe that there's a lot more knowledge about that. And I've also been more focused in that direction than Lights in the Sky because of the guys with the bucks, the guys with the cash, the guys with the best of the best. Heck yeah, I'm paying attention. If Bigelow's interested in Skinwalker instead of all these, you know, UFO reports, I'm not going to care about these. I'm going to follow Bigelow.
When it comes to movies, I've always said that there's some kind of unwritten rule where they got to tell us what's going on, whether through the movies, newspaper, books, whatever, plays. What movie would you, your gut feeling tells you best describes our situation? I mean, from Contact to Independence Day to Avatar, I mean, any movie, any science fiction movie, which one would you think best determines or best exemplifies what's happening in our current state?
Oh my gosh. The one where they were building the mashed potatoes into that Close Encounters of the Third Kind. In other words, right now, it's real. A lot of people know about it. The scientists are studying it. People that have been contacted know it's coming, and yet they haven't seen it yet. The rest of the world doesn't know or have seen what they have or have the information they have. So that would best describe what I believe is where we are right now.
Okay. All right. Question. Could some of the UFOs be humans from a breakaway civilization traveling with advanced technology?
I have considered that as well. I don't know who's piloting these crafts, but everything's on the table right now. Everything. Oh, look, Timothy. I love him. And Anson.
I was going to say, Timothy believes in sort of a little bit of the breakaway. I'm not speaking for him, but doesn't he believe in a little breakaway civilization?
You want to talk about somebody who's brilliant, and he is really notable. Pay attention to Timothy Alvarino. Pay attention to what he's going to be saying, especially in Branson. If you can't make Branson, get the live feeds. Get a whole group of you together in a house or whatever it is, a church. Get together and get that live feed, and everybody share this. The messages that are going to be coming out, Timothy is going to blow it off the roof, and then everyone is. Then you have Michael Schrat. When he gets done, you're going to hear a pin drop because he's going to show you why this is not only real, it's here. It's just there's going to be some jaws hitting the floor, and there's going to be people that are going to be disturbed, and we need to get through this. We need to start working together, especially in the religious community. I believe that they better start dealing with this because I can't tell you how many people call me because they have nowhere else to go. They can't talk to their preacher. They're crazy. And the truth is they're not. These things are happening.
Right. And, you know, it's best to be prepared. You know, biblically, the Bible says, be prepared to answer every man for that hope that's within you. But I believe it also means be prepared to answer any question he has because knowledge is power. And people are not getting the information from the lamestream media. These people, I mean, fake news is the best way to describe them. They're colluding together. They're trying to warp people's minds, and who knows what kind of psychops they're running through subliminal messaging. So you know, I don't trust them one bit, and whatever they say, I just throw it out because I won't use any of them as my source.
And what is the alternative? Social media? That's a mess too. I don't believe anything on Facebook or Twitter anymore, and it's so volatile. I put a little post about an ancient alien, and let me tell you, these people come out like, "How dare you? Oh my God!" And it's like, "Get off my page!" It's like, "It's my page. Get off it!" Mm-hmm. But it's just ridiculous how things are splitting. And if we don't have our ducks in a row as a country, and we're not doing this together, and this phenomena is real and coming quickly, if not already here, we're in big trouble.
Mm-hmm. Well, that you just sparked a memory of Reagan saying that how the civilizations would come together to fight an alien menace. And of course, people use that as he was just basically saying there is an alien menace and we better get together. But you say, well, that was 30 years ago. Well, in alien time, that's not much time now. In human history, that's not much time.
And in Reagan's diary, and I believe it's like page 272, don't quote me on that, but it is in his diary, Reagan comes back from this meeting, and he's all excited, and he's telling, you know, some of his top people that are with him in the office, like, oh my gosh, I just saw the coolest thing. He's describing that he had seen a space shuttle that carries 300 people. And he's just blown away. He didn't know we could do this. And he's like, it's like science fiction, but it's not. We're doing it. It's real. And I just have to wonder, when we have presidents putting out statements, all this information that's coming out, we have people that have been heavily embedded that are not only intelligent, but have extremely successful business lives or just lives in themselves. They're all saying that this is real, it's right here, and, you know, I don't know why people aren't more excited or concerned, mm-hmm. But the public is going to have to deal with this one way or another.
Yeah. Yeah, we had Michael Stratt on this show before, too, as well. Now, I understand that Gary Stearman is going to be rolling out some previously unknown information. He's been holding what he knows tight to the vest, and I'm really excited because they're saying that he's, like you were saying, Tim Alberini's going to blow it out. Seems like every speaker up there is going to be blowing this thing out.
Yeah, I'm going to be talking about two experiences that I had where I actually have been 6 feet from a gray. I'm going to be talking about being with a crew in the woods with seven investigators or seven people investigating something that is so bizarre, and what happens in the woods at that time still gives me the chills. I don't even like to talk about it, but and then I'm going to be talking about game changers, all the things that have happened, mm-hmm. and the proof behind them and why we need to be paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Seems like I saw a headline in a New York Post said spacecraft photographed with two gay aliens in it, and I'm thinking that might have been fake news because I'm not sure how that goes but and here's a question for you. It says, Chase, if a little gray being you saw in Tennessee is the little gray being you saw in Tennessee connected to the Bigfoot cryptoid phenomena?
I don't think so. I think it's dimensional. You know, the evidence, and the Bigfoot people hate that theory. They hate it. But I don't know where else to go with this. When you have visible footprints and you only get two or three of them and the terrain hasn't changed, there should be more, and all of a sudden they're gone. Mm-hmm. I have photographs of a snowy field in Pennsylvania on one of the mountains there, small mountains, but of a whole field that is completely untouched, except in the middle of it, there's like five tracks of something that's, you know, three-toed. Just Ooh. In the middle of it, and then it disappears. Mm-hmm. Well, what is that? Either they're flying, or Bigfoot can fly, or Where are they going? Why are they not leaving? So that, you know, we just can't ignore evidence because we don't like where it's going. Mm-hmm. I've had that happen several times, especially mm-hmm. in a story I'm going to be telling what happened to me and Chris Bledsoe in North Carolina.
Mm. That wasn't near Brown Mountain, was it?
Actually, it was. And
wow.
that mountain at the top has a history, and there's a museum that actually has the William Penn, who discovered Pennsylvania, was going through, and he met Indians down at the bottom of this mountain who said, don't go up there. That's their territory. We leave alone. They leave us alone. Mm-hmm. And they call them tar beasts.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And describe Bigfoot.
Have you seen the movie Alien Abduction? It's about Brown Mountain.
I don't think I have seen Alien Abduction.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think one of the guys that is that movie, it's on Netflix, and one of the guys was on this program. And here's a question from Ken Nuke. Says, are UFOs responsible for the Mandela effect?
That's a very interesting question. I do believe that our CIA is responsible for that.
But the fact is, Chase, when they come into our dimension, let's just say, they're moving something. Because what's here is here. There's something from somewhere else coming into here. Wouldn't their presence cause a ripple? And I'm not saying necessarily a Mandela effect, because I'm not even sure I'm 100% behind that anyway. There are definitely some anomalies, and definitely needs to be investigated. But I hardly ever make final definitive decisions, because there's so much information, it changed so fast, and you don't
right.
want to be a flat earther and find out that we're actually on the globe. You know what I'm saying? So, but no, there would be some kind of repercussion.
I'm not seeing that in the evidence. When we have people that experience the portal type of phenomenon, we're not hearing anything about something else. Distorted ambient or distorted environment when these craft are around, absolutely. We get that all the time. So if that's what the person who asked the question was leaning more towards, he's absolutely right, 100%. We get a lot of that. We have animals that go silent. Insects, all of a sudden the whole area, you can't hear anything. There's a lot of that, magnetic anomalies, cars turning off, TVs turning on. So they're that reported. But if it's portal type, we're actually not getting much of that.
All right. Space Cow. Chase, how many alien races do you estimate that we are interacting with?
Oh my gosh. I can't answer that. I don't like to guess as an investigator, and like I said, I'm pretty sure people don't care what I think. But I would say there's more than one.
I'm going to bring up a picture. Okay, I'm pretty sure this is not one.
A reptilian. They're one of our most popular, or one of the most reported beings. Reptilians, tall grays, small grays, and what we call Nordics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about this guy?
This guy is reported often, and it's not good. It's not good when, you know, you have a reptilian, reptile-type intelligent being that has power over you, that can mm-hmm. take you from where you're going. First time I am an associate producer, and I appear in a film that's being released September 3rd. It's going to be ready for download for a while, then it's going to Netflix, mm-hmm. and it's titled Extraordinary, The Feeding. And we have people discussing interaction with reptilians and the missing fetus syndrome.
Mm, wow.
It's shocking. Shocking.
I remember.
But it's a great documentary, because we went at it with knowledgeable and intelligent witnesses that, you know, they're not crazy, and you know that the minute they start talking. And it's interesting.
Yeah, it seemed like we had a guest on a program who claimed that the Navy has big vats of chewed up body parts that they've been feeding the grays, and they dump the remains out in the ocean. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes, I've heard it more in Dulce, down the layers. We get the reports that You know, some people have actually been down in the dumps and have seen those vats of body parts.
Wow.
But I haven't heard of it, you know, in the Navy.
I certainly don't. I don't want to be in that vat, Chase, myself.
No.
So, all right. Have you ever researched Wright-Patterson Air Force Base? Have you ever went over there for a tour?
I have not. And I can get into a tour because I still have a dependent ID. My husband's a retired submarine commander.
Nice.
So I can get on base and check some things out. I haven't been there. Really don't have. I've never had an investigation that led me to that area. I'm sure I'll get there eventually.
Well, we have an opportunity. My wife went to a Trump rally, and there was somebody that was retired from Wright-Patterson, and he told her that he'd be more than happy to take us to a tour over there. But hey, if we're going over there, I want to see the guarded areas, man. I don't want to see, you know, I mean, I've seen planes like planes, but I want to go down deep. Question says,
and you're probably not going to get there because my husband gave an authorized tour to Richard Dolan, and on board a Trident submarine. And the security that they put on that submarine, we can't look at certain things, we can't go to certain places, and just getting down there kind of shook him up a little because it's serious matter. And for civilians who have never had experience with military bases, especially in kind of sensitive areas, I mean, you have Marines pulling you out, you're getting searched, your car's getting searched, and I have the XO of the military base doing this tour. And they still yank us out of a car.
are you going to join the stormtroopers heading out to Area 51?
No. I do want to go just to see, you know, kind of witness what's going on, but I don't want anything to do with that. I think it's stupid. And I like the guys that say, they can't get us all. I'm like, yeah, they can. It's like, but yeah, and I believe it's turning into more of a Woodstock.
Yeah.
Now I really want nothing to do with it, if you know what I mean.
Right. Some kind of Woodstock / Burning Man crazy thing, man. Everybody's going to be doing drugs.
Yes. Conjuring those UFOs.
Well, and people try to, and you know, I don't think that's really a good idea. I think if somebody tries to conjure a UFO, they're going to get some kind of entity. It seems to me, because you know, I believe that a lot of this supernatural stuff is permission based. For somehow,
correct
or other, I believe that we are as free will individuals. We get permission for evil to work in our own life, and so I'm all about canceling permissions that I may have inadvertently given. And I got to figure, you know, you always see like in the series of Supernatural, they had a ghost kind of guy who's called the jokester, or no, the trickster, and he's always tricking people to do stuff, you know. And I don't like being tricked. My government's been tricking me for years, man. I'm damn tired of it, Chase. I'm going to turn the tables on these bastards, and we're going to trick them with the truth.
And unfortunately, there's things going on where we're getting reports that, you know, people, they don't have the right, and our free will is a gift from God. That anything that takes that away is obviously evil. And that's what makes me wonder about this. We have people that, even in the film, you'll see somebody, oh my gosh, she'll rip your heart out because it's so legit what she's saying. She says, they don't have the right to use me as a laboratory rat or, you know, an incubator. Like, I you know, they take me. I don't want them to take me, but they do anyway. And it's just horrendous what some people are dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess as a movie buff, I always seem to ask a lot of questions from movies. The movie The Missing was about aliens who were abducting children, and then they were trying to trick the people that had the children into believing they never had children. But one woman says she knows she had a child, and the psychologists were trying to talk her out of it. Have you ever seen that movie?
No.
It's called... Well, it's called The Missing. You need to watch it because it's a trickster thing. But here, the gist of that, and the reason I'm bringing that up is this. The aliens wanted to know what the unseen binding tie was between a mother and a child. They were trying to break that, and they couldn't break it with this one woman, and they want to know what that is because that, from an alien standpoint, there's something that they either admire or they're puzzled by. They want to know more about humans in that way. And I say that because it seems that some of the alien activity has to do with maybe our emotions. Why do we love? You know, what is our sex thing all about? You know, these things they don't have. And many people say that they abduct us. They're trying to find the inner parts or workings. Where is this coming from? Where's this spark of life? Where's this emotion from? And they're always examining because they always seem that they don't have any emotions.
And we hear this all the time, to have many reports and have many witnesses that I have worked with very closely that say that they know they're pregnant, they have sonograms, and then all of a sudden they're not. And they go to the doctor, and the doctor's like, this is the strangest thing. There's no sign at all that you've ever been pregnant. And that doctor knows they were pregnant. So they just put it off as, you know, your body cannibalized the baby or, you know, whatever. And, you know, next thing they know, they report that they're taken on board a craft, and they're put into the same room to see how they interact, even with many children. Mm-hmm. And she knew who hers was immediately, and they were struck by that. That she knew out of all of these little hybrid children. So, you know, we hear case after case after case. And if you're not, if you're not into, like, understand the UFO hypothesis from the beginning, this should be absolutely ridiculous, talking about hybrid children on board a craft. And yet we have the most credible people and evidence of them being pregnant and not being pregnant, and it's just a mess. And but yes, that connection and the feelings. So the human mother will go and touch the child, and they don't, they seem very odd. They just don't understand that at all.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is a movie by the same title. I thought it was Alien Abduction. There was a movie about aliens abducted this woman to harvest inside of her woman. They showed inside the spaceship, and these aliens touched her stomach, and her stomach lining dissolved, and they reached down in there to get the fetus, and the woman is like screaming in pain, and the aliens just have this, just like, you know, nothing's happening here. There's nothing. I mean, nothing. It's like, there's no emotion, and they're screaming in pain there. It's like, wow, man, there's some freak stuff going on. Hey, by the way, somebody wanted to know, do you think the alien autopsy film is real?
Oh, boy. This is a huge debate in the UFO field right now, and we have Linda Moulton Howe, who I have a great respect for, and she was out here before me. I get to do this because she blazed a lot of that trail. I'm still dealing with those good old boys, and there's still a few of them out there, you know, those old-fashioned, you just want to kick them, right?
Right,
and,
right, yeah.
Still dealing with a couple of them, but she, that's all she had. So she believes it's real. There's other people that are coming forward saying that it's absolutely real, and I have a question into very important people that I know have that answer, and as soon as I find out, I'll let you know, because that was one for, I'm like, come on. So I send a text, is this alien autopsy real? Come on. And I will discuss this with you in person. I can't do it on the phone.
Wow.
And, yeah, and I text back, I'm like, oh my gosh, I thought I was going to get really chased, you know, like, and no, that's not what I received.
Mm. Did you watch the TV show People of Earth about abductees?
Oh my gosh, I freaking love that show. I think it's awesome. It in a fun way, we can make fun of ourselves, but I thought it was great. I thought it was hysterical. But whoever is behind that knows this field. Mm. They got so many little details right. They got so many little terms that only ufologists use. I thought it was decent.
All right.
Fun.
What do you think the gray being you saw in Tennessee? Wait a minute, we already asked that question here. All right. I think I asked you this question last time as well. A lot of people say that there are a lot of sort of spiritual events happening around UFO activity. Could it be that they're breaking the plane of dimensions? And there's a whole bunch of freaks and creatures on the other side waiting for that hold, you know, like they bust it open and then the others come through?
I am really falling on that side of that equation. And that is absolutely something. One of the most credible witnesses I work with is Chris Bledsoe. And that's exactly what happened. Very religious things on top of odd things, on top of disturbing things. And a lot of our witnesses that have seen these crafts or beings are plagued with paranormal activity and high strangeness for the rest of their lives.
Wow. Now, you have been investigating for a while, Chase. Are you being followed, chased, harassed? Creatures
by
are showing
beings?
Up? Yeah.
No. There have been occasions, but, you know, there are certain things that precautions that I will take. And I'm not like a wussy, you know, because I'm a door kicker. But I'll tell you what, I don't play with things that start feeling evil. Mm-hmm. Because I'll be honest, I'll be very, very honest with everybody. I don't have that armor of God. I don't have that, you know, very religious lifestyle that would have it. For me to do something like that, I would want a Jamie with me or a Timothy Alberino. Mm. And because I'm not got that armor, I don't play with it. Mm-hmm. I don't play with demons. I don't go into, like, mm-hmm. you know, areas where, you know, there's a spiritual warning. Mm-hmm. I just don't do it. My gut has never been wrong.
Was that Jamie Walden you were talking about?
Jamie's last name, honey. Do you remember? He'll be at. He's
Walden.
It is Walden.
It is Walden.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jamie Walden is one of the most put together Christian. Have you ever met him?
Yeah.
Or read his book?
Yeah. My wife and I went to the last Branson thing. And I was going around live streaming on Facebook, and I went up to him and I interviewed him live on Facebook right there, man. And man, he's a powerful guy, and I'm thinking, damn, we need Christian men like this here. This guy, he is on it, dude. You're right. I want that guy on my side.
Absolutely, and I won't do something like that without him. And a Timothy and Jamie, the things he's done. So yes, interview him again, and if you ever hear his story about how he was a Marine. What happened, why he got out, and he's incredible. Mm-hmm. I love that kid so much. My husband loves this kid so much.
Speaking of that, as far as godly Christian fighters, man, on the front lines, what I like about this conference and all of the Gen 6 conferences is that they have breached the line between secular and some people would say religious. I use the word spiritual people there. But, you know, and you alluded to this in the first hour, that we all need to come together. And Gen 6 Productions has broken that mold, because in the past, secular people's opinions were not valued. And, when Richard Dolan got up to speak, and he said some things that were clearly... somebody who studies the Bible would say, that's not it. He was applauded instead of booed or hissed. And I recognized that, and I thought, man, I really respect this audience for doing that, because they gave him the space to say what he wanted to say without discrediting him. And that's what we've been trying to do on this program for years, and that is get people who aren't religious, who aren't spiritual. Maybe they've got some value. Maybe I can put something good in their life. Maybe they can put something good in my life. It didn't end at the door. You know, putting something good in somebody's life didn't end at the door what you, you know, your personal beliefs. So, yeah, I like
people,
that.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
The people at Branson, Richard Dolan and his wife, Tracy, mm-hmm. How they summed up their experience there, Richard said it was a healing experience. Mm-hmm. That's huge, coming from Richard Dolan and his wife. Mm-hmm. We need an audience like that. We're around a certain type of people, and I'm in the conference circuit because before I even come to Branson, I'm speaking at International UFO Congress. You know, it's the world's largest UFO conference, and Guinness World Book of Records is fact. And then you go to Branson. 3,000 people. They always sell out. They should. They're amazing. But you're absolutely right. What Steve Quayle and Timothy have put together in Gen 6 and this whole venture and bringing in you know, secular people like me and Richard, and it's amazing. That's exactly what we're doing. We have to do this together. I respect their views and their not opinions as much as what are their evidence, and then I'm handing mine over. And you know what we find, Daniel?
What?
We all kind of have some of the same things. We're just looking at it differently, but they're the same evidence, the same, you know, stories coming back and forth, and it's just really interesting. So bringing us together like that, but you're right. The people at Branson, I cannot wait to be in that environment. I love everybody. The energy is positive, and they will give us that chance to say what we have to say, even if that's not what they believe. The courtesy and sophistication of a mature audience is so appreciated, you don't even know.
Well said. I like that term, sophisticated audience. They are definitely, for sure. Doreen8951 says, are aliens coming from Planet X?
I don't know. I've never met one that came from Planet X.
One silly bastard come flying down here. I'm going to knock them out. I don't have any use for Planet X. And there'll be people riding that planet. I don't even know. What do? They're riding the planet and they jump off? I don't even know. What about this? This is interesting. Are aliens and the Hat Man / Shadow People the same thing? Now you know, when somebody says Hat Man, and they're coming out of woodwork too. A lot of things is coming out. So I'm pretty interested in that Hat Man dude.
You know, in a paranormal world, and I do paranormal investigations, not so much anymore, really focused on lobbying and, you know, forensics. And but shadow people are scary. We still don't know what they are. Are they alien? Are they demons? You know, these shadow people, are they just, you know, creatures from what seems to be happening is once that veil is pulled out, you get all sorts of things coming in. You know, there's a lot of things reported, good and bad. But shadow people, don't know what they are. And no one has that answer.
But again, there is certainly something to it.
Yes, I've seen shadow people.
So, you know, I mean, somebody said, well, it's just an anomaly looking out of the corner of your eye. Well, why is it moving? I mean, you know.
I've seen them dead on. There's no corner of my eye. I've watched them move. Yes.
Yeah. You know, and I think giving people at least some semblance of answers to what's going on is a good thing. When people have answers, they will have more security. Not knowing is not an answer. It's better to know and not be able to do anything about it than not know and be abducted, is what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah, and to be honest with you, a lot of the research that we have uncovered from people like Kathleen Martin and Yvonne Smith, they're out front of all of this. And I remember reading an article that the only thing that they have found that stops an abduction is invoking the name of Jesus Christ. I'm like, wait, what? And so I asked her, has she ever heard that? And she says she hears that a lot. In fact, she, as a secular person, has given that advice. I think, Daniel, that puts a whole new spin on things. I think if invoking the name of Jesus Christ stops an alien abduction, they either understand who Jesus Christ is, or they can, it's a commandment that they can't break. So it's just the most bizarre thing is when you hear that, and every person involved in abductions will tell you that's true. What do you do with that? You have to believe it, right?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, I go back to our first hour when I said, what do you need to have in your survival pack? Sounds like the name of Jesus would be one of the biggest things in your survival pack to get through this alien thing.
You know, and it's shocking to a lot of UFO people because here we have an alleged answer, and yet how many people are doing that? How many people would know that? Well, because it doesn't fit into a lot of our hypothesis. It doesn't fit in our theory. It can't be religious. This cannot be a biblical agenda. This can't be cosmic. It can't be a cosmic game. And yet here we are with some of the most pervasive, most provocative evidence that invoking the name of Jesus Christ stops an abduction. I get chills. I'm just like, wait, what is that about? So, you know, this is where we need the community that in Branson, the Steve Quails and the Jamies and Timothys and, you know, these people that are devoted to the Word of God and get this all in it to begin with. I'm obviously a Christian. I'm not really good at it. So, like, I like my wine. I cuss a lot. So, you know, but, you know, I'm right there. I follow the evidence. Wherever it leads, I don't care. But these are big things.
Have you met someone who claims to be abducted, has been abducted?
Yes. Many.
What is your take on their sincerity? How do you perceive that?
Not everybody that says they've been abducted has been. Not everybody that says they're abductees or contactees are. But most of them, 150%. These aren't people that are crazy. These are doctors, lawyers, police officers, housewives, you know, 60-year-old grandmother in Tennessee that wouldn't lie to save her life. You know, she's a Christian woman. It's they're credible people, period. Most are.
Yeah, I heard a story from L.A. Marzulli who talked to somebody who I think it convinced him. I think he actually what he heard may have moved his belief system a little bit, you know, in a certain direction. I mean, it's such a powerful event to hear somebody's testimony. Again, that goes back to you're a conspiracy nut, you know. Now, it used to be sort of in the religious world, if somebody says they've been abducted, the immediate response is, you have a demon. And,
correct.
You know, wait a minute, maybe they're being abducted. You know, is that a possibility? Why do we always have to go with you got a demon? I mean, and in fact, unfortunately, for some in the Christian world, if you don't believe like I do, you got a demon. It's almost like a go-to card. You know, people have a race card,
yeah.
Feminist card, all kind of cards. But in the Christian world, man, you got demon cards. It's like, you know, wait a minute, man, not everybody's got a demon. How about a difference of opinion or experience?
Exactly. Or people like me that, where do you fit into that? Where do I fit in? Because there's, you know, a lot of that as well. It's, you know, my way or you're wrong and, you know, the treatment of you is not well. So I love Branson, and that's really one of the best things about it. Everybody is available. All of us will be available to talk and meet. I'm not going to Branson. Michael Schratt's not going to Branson to sit in a hotel room or to sit in a back room and not talk to anybody. We're coming to be with you, to be with every single person that bought that ticket. We want to talk. We want to sit down. We want to have lunch with you. We want to have breakout groups. So for the audience that is going to Branson, I would like to offer a really big suggestion. Do not be shy. Nobody up there feels like a rock star. Nobody feels like, you know, anything but one of them that are, you know, one of all of us are together. Don't be shy. Come up, grab these people, ask questions. I promise that's why they're there.
Wait a minute, you said we're coming. Wait a minute, man. I thought they're coming. If you're coming and they're coming, it's going to be quite a battle, man.
Ooh, it'd be fun, right?
that would be a powerful audience. I mean, I wonder if we could the atmosphere there would trigger something like that. Well, Chase, how close? Now, it doesn't seem like there's going to be like a disclosure day. It seems like it's going to be kind of like it is. More videos coming out, more people asking questions up on the Hill. I mean, I don't know how many times in the last month I've heard somebody talking about budgets for checking out UFOs and such. I mean, they're basically now on the other side saying, okay, you know, as Washington does move slowly, and I'm glad you're a lobbyist, but is it going to be sort of an increased trickle out or a major disclosure event?
I believe so. And, you know, unless there's something else in play that I don't know about, what I do know about is that To the Stars Academy, it's the only game in town. They have fired ufologists. They're doing it on their own. And the way that they're going forward with this is unprecedented. It's never been done before. And they're so successful. So I'd like to give, you know, kudos and creds to them. They changed the entire atmosphere. And they got this topic into out of the ridicule factor and all the way up to the president. So this is what's going to continue to happen, is now we have the right people at the right time looking at the right information, and things are going to start coming out. To the Stars Academy hasn't slowed down. A lot of the information will be coming out in season two of Unidentified. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's been announced yet, but obviously there's going to be a season two. Season one was the number one show on History Channel. Wow. So, you know, yeah, there's got to be. And look forward to a lot more information from that organization. Mm-hmm. And that's where your best stuff is coming out. I'm not hearing from anyone else any information like what they're putting out.
Mm-hmm. Scott Richardson says, what happened to Richard Greer and his disclosure?
I'm not a fan of Steve Greer. Don't hate me, people. I'm just not a fan. And it's personal. So mm-hmm. It's not really everything he says, although I'm not a fan of a lot of that either. He's got an ego the size of Texas, and I don't do well with boys like that. You know, that, you know, I have to stroke an ego to talk to. I'm just not going to do that. So, I'm so sorry I don't have a better answer for, you know, the listener and to ask the question. Just not a fan.
Yeah, there's a show of his on Netflix, and I kind of not in the fan category either. So,
yeah.
You know, but I mean, it takes a, you know, there's got to be a certain personality part to it. And one of the reasons I like having you on the show, you're so happy about it and you're excited about it. This is interesting stuff. It's happening. It's real.
Yeah.
It's almost like we've been released from prison, the prison of conspiracy that they locked
right.
us in. We couldn't really move out because the gatekeepers kind of kept us in. But I think the gates are broken down, man, and now the truth's coming out. We can do research without ridicule.
Absolutely. And we have sciences and science in institutions that we never had available to us before because it's no longer in that ridicule, you know, category. And with a serious look, we're going to get that answer. It's going to happen because we now, the best way to put it, honestly, is the right people at the right time with the right information. And I'm just so excited. It's standby. It's mm-hmm. monthly. We're getting, you know, big news, big revelation, big release. You know, they just released more documents, Lou Elizondo's emails about how to get some of these videos declassified. And what that tells us is a lot. When you're looking at this as a counterintelligence, we take these emails. Well, who's on those emails? Those are the people that have been involved with this secret ATIP program in the Pentagon. It's all coming together.
Who's the highest ranking person that you know that is sort of turned into the UFO acknowledgement crowd?
The highest ranking person
yeah.
that I personally know,
yeah.
or
yeah.
it would have to. Admirals, I don't know who would outrank. In my world, a congressman or a senator wouldn't outrank an admiral, but I'm pretty sure it does. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how that goes, but mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And the intelligence. I don't want to sit and talk to congressional leaders. D.C. is such a swamp. It's so divided right now. You have a portion of the population that all they want to do is impeach the president. That's all they do is hate him, period.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the other one that's so consumed with FISA warrants, and they should be, and all these other things that have happened, you know, with the FBI and you know, just everything that they've been doing with citizens, and they should be. But and it's really hard to find those people that aren't embedded in these things that are going on. So that's my job, is to go in and talk to intelligent communities, but it's got to be on the outside. I don't want to talk to Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Half these people can't even get to the Oval Office, and half of them, all they care about is, you know, impeaching the president or, you know, something else. I want people that work for the people. I think we've lost that. And in a way, this topic could easily, like President Reagan said many, many years ago, wouldn't it bring us together? So I do know that there is more going on with political leaders, and I do know that there's a lot of talk with people in other agencies that probably have the most clout anyway, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I would see some of the military brass that's around the president that have the job of overseeing the military have more access to the president than Schiff and the Intelligence Committee or Nancy Pelosi,
Well, that's just, for instance, that clip we showed with President Trump, he didn't ridicule it. He basically said, I don't personally believe, but the pilots know more than I do. To me, that's just near acknowledgement right there.
Absolutely. And, I don't know how many briefs he's had. I know that he's going to get more than we get right now. So, it just makes sense. And you don't want to be the guy in charge of an agency or in a group or committee or, whatever it's called, that's responsible for threat assessment, and you don't have the answers. These guys are clamoring to get information on UFOs and what's going on, mm-hmm. and that's where I can help, and that's where I'm helping. So that's where we want to get in. You don't want to be the guy that has that surprise, or you don't have the answers when the president asks you.
I have a poll up on our website, who killed Jeffrey Epstein. I wonder, should I put aliens in that list?
No, I think he had enough enemies, and unless Hillary Clinton is a reptilian underneath.
Well, now, we could go there very easily, Chase.
I know.
These shapeshifters, a lot of video out there, freeze framing these people transitioning, man, from reptilian to human.
And we have plenty of reports that that this has happened. Actually, in the film that I was talking about, Extraordinary Defeating, there's a story about a woman who is in a very intimate relationship with somebody that he completely changed in a very intimate moment. And she was horrified, and what happens at that moment. So, you never know. I know is, I just want to say publicly, I know nothing about the Clintons. I know nothing at all.
I don't know anything about them either. I know nothing.
No. I hear they're good people. I hear they're very nice.
Yeah, I love them. I love them, man. I'd vote for them again. Colossus me bag or no colossus me bag. I still vote for them, man. But I'm glad to have you back on the program. You're going to be in Branson. Who's some of the other speakers,
Yes, we have George Knapp from Coast to Coast, but he's also really one of the legit media people that is breaking stories all the time. He broke Area 51 and Bob Lazar and really many, many others. He's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. Hugo Javaris, he was there last year. Remember? Oh, my gosh. He got a standing ovation and mm-hmm. deserved every bit of that, the accolades. Mm-hmm. He's just amazing. You can't miss this year. This year is going to be phenomenal, and the audience is going to get everything they need.
Wow. Of course, Tim Alvarino is going to be there. Steve Quayle.
Yes. I talk to him often because I'm also on his Inca Quest team that we do expeditions down in Peru. I've been down there twice this year with him. Yep, mm-hmm. right there. And Timothy's just remarkable, and he's very intelligent. And to talk to somebody with such a grip on UFO topic and biblical knowledge, mm-hmm. he blows me away. I just love that kid so much. Yeah. I really do.
Well, I'll tell you what, he gives me hope for the future, man, because these kind of warriors is in the Christian realm, man, then things are looking up for sure.
Absolutely, and that is the right word for them, warriors. And I stand with them. I work with them. Jamie as well is on this team. Mm-hmm. Man, it's just, I'm so honored to be with them.
Now, I wanted to ask you about this picture here. Where'd you find this one?
That, one moment.
Okay, no problem.
I hope you don't hear that over the microphone.
No, I hear nothing. We're all
guzzling.
We're all friends here. We're all normal human beings. our moderator says bless you. Everybody's saying bless you. So what do we got here, man? Is this alien creature?
No, but it is something that is very similar to the baby that Stephen Greer had. And I was working with a team of osteologists. Excuse me, I'm so sorry.
More about it.
Working with a team of osteologists, and I'm in a hotel, right?
Yeah.
This air conditioning is killing me. And we were actually investigating the Star Child skull, and I was getting some expert advice and expert analysis on that. And everywhere. And he had like 40 of these,
mm-hmm.
and brought them out. And
wow.
I asked him about it. It's unfortunately a stillborn.
So it's like a creature.
It's human. It's a stillborn.
Okay. Oh, daggone it, man! Let's hope for monsters. Yeah. I thought we were going to talk about monsters here.
No monsters.
Dang it! I wanted monsters. Where's my monster?
I want monsters too. And it's really sad because some of them look so similar, including the little missing rib. There's a lot of scientific endeavors that I have to put into some of my investigations, mm-hmm. like the Star Child skull. I needed a collection of, you know, comparable samples
yeah.
of human skulls the same age.
Mm-hmm.
And I found this amazing little museum in Oklahoma City, and that's what they have, hundreds of little mm-hmm. skulls, and because that's what they do, osteology. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
You know, earlier I said
that's really good.
Well, listen, Chase, we're getting near the end of the broadcast. Anything you'd like to say about your website, Branson, anything? Your time. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just really hope that as many people can make it to Branson. This is the year of a lot of information, and I really sincerely believe that if you do not have, you know, at least some grasp of this topic, it's going to topple your world eventually. Steve Quayle and Timothy Alvarino have assembled a group of people that are going to give you the skinny. They're educated. They're the people with that knowledge. And you get them all to yourself for a whole weekend. So
yeah,
really hope that. And even if you can't be there, listen to it. It's just the information. It's going to be jaw-dropping.
Mm-hmm.
And these are intelligent discussions. This isn't people up there like, you know, I saw a UFO, you know, when I was 9. You're not going to hear that. Mm-hmm. You're not going to hear that.
Well, good. Now, they're live streaming that too, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And I love that they're doing that. And mm-hmm. that was something that they were very anxious to get up and running because they sell out 3,000 seats.
Yeah.
And then there's people like they can't get in. And we want them to have as much access to this knowledge as possible, and I'm just so proud of the guys. Just really proud to be in this community and to get to be around everybody, including the people that are at Branson that walk into that building, because it almost feels like every one of them comes in with love, openness, and they want the truth. And it's amazing. For someone like me, I don't get to be around people like this a lot. So to me, I'm just blown away, and I just can't get enough of it.
Well, if they need another reason to live stream it, they might zoom in and look for the hat, because they might see
right?
They'll see me down there somewhere in the front there. Well, Chase Kolesky, I appreciate you coming on the Edge Television broadcast. Can we have you on again sometime?
Absolutely. You're one of my favorite hosts. I swear. I do a lot of these shows. I've done hundreds of them. I promise. You're my favorite. Anytime. Anytime. You're awesome. And so are the questions. Thank you so much.
All right. And you got a lot of people in the chat saying you rock, Chase. Thank you for coming on the show. Like to see you again. Have a great week. A lot of accolades for you. Chase, I appreciate you coming on the show. And we'll talk to you later. We'll see you down Branson.
Yes, thank you so much.